be here this morning. I'd like to welcome you all in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I have an email I received this morning from a sister in New York that I'd like to read. And it says, if you were to get an email from God, as you got up this morning, I watched you and hoped you would talk to me, even if it was just for a few words, asking my opinion or thanking me for something good that happened in your life yesterday. But I noticed you were too busy, trying to find the right outfit to put on and where to work. I waited again when you ran around the house getting ready. I knew there would be a few moments for you to stop and say hello, but you were too busy. At one point, you had to wait 15 minutes with nothing to do except sit in a chair. Then I saw you spring to your feet. I thought you wanted to talk to me, but you ran to the phone and called a friend to get the latest gossip. I watched as you went to work, and I waited patiently all day long. With all your activities, I guess you were too busy to say anything to me. I noticed that before lunch you looked around. Maybe you felt too embarrassed to talk to me. That is why you didn't bow your head. You glanced three or four tables over and you noticed some of your friends talking to me briefly before they ate, but you didn't. That's okay. There is still more time left. I have hope that you will talk to me. Yet you went home and it seems as if you had lots of things to do. After a few of them were done, you turned on the TV. I don't know if you like TV or not. Just about anything goes on there and you spend a lot of time watching and a lot of time each day in front of it, not thinking about anything, just enjoying the show. I waited patiently again as you watched the TV and ate your meal. But again, you didn't talk to me. At bedtime, I guess you felt too tired. After you said goodnight to your family, you plopped into bed and fell asleep in no time. That's okay, because you may not realize that I am always here for you. I've got patience, more than you will ever know. I even want to teach you how to be patient with others as well. I love you so much that I wait every day for a nod, a prayer, a thought, or a thank you from heart. It is hard to have a one-sided conversation. Well, you are getting up again. Once again, I will wait with nothing but love for you, hoping that today you will give me some time. Have a nice day. Your friend, God. Thought that was appropriate as we, each of us, no matter who we are, get caught up in our daily routines and in the hustle and the bustle and forget to talk to our Heavenly Father and reflect on His blessings that He's bestowed upon us. I'd like to open with a reading of Psalm number 1, first Psalm. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. You know, there's important words there, and God is telling us in these things that He's preserved for us to read that, you know, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinners. We'll be blessed if we are among the righteous.
will be blessed if we walk with the righteous and follow His path. You know, it gives the example there of being by the like a tree that was near the waters, and the leaf will not wither, but would be healthy. And so we make these choices each day of where we're going to walk and who we're going to be. He says, and the ungodly are not so. They cannot expect those blessings. So the choice is ours. I got a couple of props today. You have to bear with me. Okay? Who knows what this is? Any of you kids know what this is? What is it? Battery. What's this? Battery charger. Good. Okay. Now, these batteries are for the vacuum cleaner in my trailer. And, you know, as I work all day long and vacuuming my trailer when I'm traveling, as you can imagine that, they'll wear out. A little bit like we wear out when we work all day long. We're hard at it. But, you know, I can just set them in there and charge them up. And that's how we are. We work all day long, all week long, and we kind of get separated. And we have an opportunity today to come here and to get charged up. And I hope that we take that opportunity. Now, are these batteries going to be charged? How come? Not plugged in. Oh. So I put them here. I set them right in here. Right? I thought they charged. But no, I've got to plug that in. I don't have a plug real handy in here. It would have been nice because the little red lights come on. But you're absolutely right. And we can't just come in this church and sit down in a pew. We've got to be plugged in. We've got to grasp on to the things that are being given. We've got to, you know, get our energy, let the Lord work with us, with His Spirit. We've got to get plugged into the things that are being said and have a continuity there that will take these things home with us and remember them. Or it doesn't do any good to just come here. It just says that's not going to charge there. But, you know, I was recently charged up and traveled out in my missionary field and went to Mississippi and different places and was able to visit different homes and congregations and talk to them there, and it was good for me. Charged me up, just like I hope you get charged up today by coming here and fellowshipping with the Lord and with the body of Christ. And I'm thankful for those opportunities that the Lord gave me to serve Him, and the testimonies that I heard and the blessings of God and His working among His people. And I'm mindful and bring it to light today to remind us to pray for one another and for our soul's welfare. We're admonished also to pray for those that know not God. Pray for their souls, that their hearts might be touched, that they might have a desire to learn of the perfect plan of salvation that's laid before us. So when you have that time, we're sitting in the chair and not taking the time to commune with God, and we might not think that we have anything that we have to commune to Him. Remember each other. Your brothers and sisters, those in the gospel, and those that are without. And I have another thing that was sent to me, and I'm going to read this. It says, keep your fork. You ready? There was a woman who had been diagnosed with terminal illness and had been given 3 months to live. So as she was getting her things in order, she contacted her pastor and had him come to her house to discuss certain aspects of her final wishes. She told him which song she wanted sung at the service, what scripture she would like read, what outfit she wanted to be buried in. The woman also requested to be buried with her favorite Bible. Everything was in order, and the pastor was preparing to leave when the woman suddenly remembered something very important to her. "There's one more thing," she said excitedly. "What's that?" came the pastor's reply. "This is very important," the woman continued. "I want to be buried with a fork in my right hand." The pastor stood looking at the woman, not knowing quite what to say. "That surprises you, doesn't it?" the woman asked. "Well, to be honest, I'm puzzled by the request," said the pastor. The woman explained, "In all my years of attending church socials and potluck dinners, I always remember that when the dishes of the main course were being cleared, someone would inevitably lean over and say, 'Keep your fork.' It was my favorite part because I knew that something better was coming, like velvety chocolate cake or deep dish apple pie, something wonderful and with substance. So I just want people to see me there in the casket with a fork in my hand, and I want them to wonder, 'What's with the fork?' Then I want you to tell them, 'Keep your fork. The best is yet to come.'" The pastor's eyes welled up with tears of joy as he hugged the woman goodbye. He knew this would be one of the last times he would see her before her death. But he also knew the woman had a better grasp of heaven than he did. She knew that something better was coming. At the funeral, people were walking by the woman's casket, and they saw the pretty dress she was wearing and her favorite Bible and a fork placed in her right hand. Over and over, the pastor heard the question, "What's with the fork?" Over and over, he smiled. During his message, the pastor told the people the conversation he had with the woman shortly before she died. He also told them about the fork and about what it symbolized to her. The pastor told the people how he could not stop thinking about the fork and told them that they probably will not be able to stop thinking about it either. He was right. So the next time you reach down for your fork, let it remind you oh so gently that the best is yet to come. So as we get caught up in the hustle and the bustle, and we forget those things, we have a little thing to remember that I hope you take with you, that as you grab for your fork this noon or tonight or next Wednesday morning or Thursday afternoon, you'll remember the best is yet to come. The Lord has prepared a beautiful spot for those that love Him, those that are among the righteous, those of His people. And He desires that each one of us obtain it, that we can live eternally with Him. So remember your fork. Oh boy, I'm all full of stuff today. Now, who knows what this is? Any kid know what this is? Ammon? What is this? You don't know? Electricians use them. Multimeter. Who said that? Oh, I knew he'd know. Every electrician would have to have this, right? You know, you can do all kinds of things with this. You can check your car with it, your 12-volt system on DC, see if you got 12 volts or not. You can plug it into 110 volts if you want to and check and see if you got power. You can plug it into 250 volts and check out your water heater. You can check your continuity check and see if you've got a circuit. I mean, you can just do everything with this thing. Right? Just flip the dial here. Find out if you've got continuity. Oh, you got to have it in the right place, though, don't you? Right? Well, I brought it to signify that, you know, as an electrician, wouldn't be going on a job without one of these. We've got a multimeter that we can test everything out as Christians. And no matter what the question is, we can turn it to the right, you know, find out what it should be and if it's good or bad. Okay? We should be doing it or not. You got a decision you want to make, you know, you just turn the dial and look it up. And that's these records. These are our tester, our multi-tester, you know. And they're the Word of God. And they're there for us. And it's a tool. And just like if the electrician never pulls out his multimeter, he isn't going to do him any good. He isn't going to know if he has power or not. He isn't going to know if he has continuity or not. Just as we, if we don't use these scriptures daily to answer the questions of life, we're missing a blessing that God has preserved for us. Daily. There isn't anything that doesn't confront us that we can't find the answer within the scriptures. You believe that? I think most of us believe that. Do we dial it in? Not enough. I know I don't. And what I'm hoping that by standing up here and telling you it, I'll remember it more. You know, we've got to constantly be used the things that the Lord has given us. For example, what is this? A light bulb. Can I tell before I climb up to the top of the building or whether or not this light bulb is any good? How would I do that, Bethany? How do I test it? Is it good? How do I test it? Handy dandy little multimeter, right? You want to find out if there's continuity in it, right? So I test it like this. And what happens? You can't see that, but that, boy, that whole thing is gone. For some reason, it's not going for a while. But, okay, is that a good bulb? Why not? You don't know. Huh? Well, we don't know because I really didn't use it right. Right? I can make that dial do anything. Isn't that dial moving now? You know, it's not even on the light bulb. Okay, but you gotta put it into two points and you gotta check it right. You gotta go to there and to there. Now that's a good light bulb. That's gonna work. Okay. I've used the instrument right. You know, I've got two points I have to test it to, and I show that there's continuity. Same thing with the scriptures. You know. We might only use one verse and get way off somewhere in a belief. You know, we've got to use all of the scriptures. That's why we have two records, for one thing. One is a testimony of the other. And even within those records, we're to use numerous references to get the complete understanding. We can use those things wrong. So we have to be careful when we use them. We have to know how to use them correctly. And to do so, we have to. Now, this standing or sitting up here by itself, what would that signify to you? Maybe it's only my mind, but what does that signify? Huh? An idea. Huh, it wasn't only my mind. I'm glad. Okay. Now, if we've got an idea, if we want to go a place or do something or anything in our job, our family, a decision, whatever it is, we have this idea and we want to know whether it's good or bad, what do? We go to our handy dandy multimeters and check it out, just like we would there. Because the answers are there. And if it's disappointing your kids, it's what job you ought to take or not take, if it's whether buying a house or not buying, or a car, or decisions on giving tithing or not giving tithing, or how to raise your kids, whatever it is, God has provided the answers for us. And we don't have to be worrying whether or not we're right or wrong. We can check out if we're in continuity with God. And he desires us. You know, he tells us in the scriptures that that's the reasons that he gave him these things to us. You know, there in 2 Timothy, 3rd chapter, 16th and 17th verse, or whatever it is. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. We don't have to guess, do we? You know, the Book of Mormon tells it that its purpose is to show you that the Bible is true, that those things that are within it are true. And it's to be used for bringing down false doctrines and confusions and to give clarity. And so, you know, we want to remember, and I'm hoping that one of the things we take with us is the need for us to continually turn to the Scriptures for our guidance and direction in our life. Because the Lord has promised us that He'll bless us accordingly. That we can check these things out and see if we're in continuity. Okay. I'd like to turn to 2 Peter. Second chapter. And this is some of the reasons why I'm telling you, you have to look at the Scriptures. He said in the second Peter there, in the second chapter, it starts off with, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them, bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they be fringe words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. But, you know, there are those that are false prophets, those that teach heresies, those that just blatantly are of Satan. And they desire to drive us away and bring us off the path that leads to eternal life. And we would get, without the word of God, without the rod of iron, we will be caught up in those pernicious paths. But there is no return from. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly. And deliver just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the ungodly out of temptation, and to reserve the unjust until the day of the judgment to be punished. So we've got this scripture here that warns of a time, and you know, we're in one of those times, if not the time, of the heresies and the things that are going on. But we know that God is going to punish the unrighteous. He's given us that example. He's told us that. You know. But He has a blessing for the godly, for the righteous. And again, it's our choice to make. You know, we're to turn from those things that are sin. We're to flee from them, it says in Alma. Have I ever used this here? You know what this is? This is Garfield, right? And my daughter had that on her car window, you know. And if you ever drove with Darrell, you want to get out, you know. And but I'm always remindful of that's how weird of you, that look, that absolute fear. You can see him standing out against that. That's how weird of you when we see sin. We're to abhor it. We're to be scared to death when we're around it. We're to fear it. We're to flee from it. Think of Garfield. Let that help you when you see something. That's how we're to react. We're not to just sit back and take it. to abhor it. I'll put Garfield away. I'd like to turn to the 21st chapter of Elma. About page 467. Starting with the 16th verse. I'm going to read the 16th and 17th and then skip over a page or so. And now it came to pass that after Alma had said these words unto Helaman, which is his son, he blessed him and also his other sons. And he also blessed the earth for the righteous sake. And he said, thus saith the Lord God, cursed shall be the land, yea, this land, unto every nation, kindred, and tongue, and people, unto destruction, which do wickedly when they are fully ripe. Okay? I want one of the kids to answer is, what land was he talking about there? Anybody know? Every one of you ought to know. What land is he talking about? Where was he standing when he said this land? It's on this continent. Okay, you're talking about the land that we live in. And what does it say? Cursed shall be the land, yea, this land, unto every nation, kindred, tongue, and people, unto destruction, which do wickedly when they are fully ripe. Has that been changed? Anybody know of any time that the Lord changed that? This is something that's in this tester for us here that we're to read. Okay? No, it hasn't changed. And this land is a blessed land. And those that do righteous will be blessed. Those that do wickedly, the wrath of God will come down upon them. And they will be destroyed. That's what that says. Skipping over to the 34th verse. And they went on, and some of the people in the church here, back there, listened to one of these false prophets. And they were kind of led away on those pernicious paths that I read about in Peter. And they began to believe in some of his cunning doctrines and that, okay? And in verse 34, thus they were led away by Amalickiah to dissensions. Notwithstanding the preaching of Helaman and his brethren, yet notwithstanding their exceedingly great care over the church, for they were high priests over the church. And there were many in the church which believed in the flattering words of Amalickiah. Therefore they dissented even from the church. And thus were the affairs of the people of Nephi exceedingly precarious and dangerous, notwithstanding their great victory which they had had over the Lamanites, and their great rejoicings which they had had because of their deliverance by the hands of the Lord. Now, here was a people that God had blessed. Okay. Thus we see how quick the children of men do forget the Lord their God. Yea, how quick to do iniquity and to be led away by the evil one. Yea, and we also see their great wickedness. We also see the great wickedness one very wicked man can cause to take place among the children of men. Yea, we see that Amalickiah, because he was a man of cunning devices and a man of many flattering words, that he led away the hearts of many who do wickedly. Yea, and to seek to destroy the church of God and to destroy the foundation of liberty which God had granted unto them, or which blessing God had sent upon the face of the land for the righteous sake. Okay, and that, you're talking there about a foundation of liberty upon this land. You know, and that, this is a land of liberty. This is a land that is promised to us by God that it would be a land of liberty as long as we follow the God of the land. Jesus Christ. You know, we have that basic foundation. God has laid in place that promise. We just need to make sure that we're living the best that we can do, that we are among the righteous, that we're continually looking to make improvements in our own life and to follow the example of Christ, to read the scriptures, see how Christ would understand it or do it. You know, there isn't anything. If we have a problem in our marriage, you turn to those scriptures that tell us how we're to react in our marriage, how we solve those problems. If we have conflict with a brother or a sister, turn to the scriptures and let God work them out. Let God do it. He is the one that has promised it. We have to completely humble ourselves and allow Him to mold us, to shape us, to change us, that we can be used by Him. We have this. Well, let me go on. And now it came to pass that when Moroni, which was the chief commander of the armies of the Nephites, had heard of these dissensions, he was angry with Amalickiah. And it came to pass that he rent his coat, and he tore a piece thereof, and wrote upon it, "In memory of our God, our religion, and freedom, and our peace, our wives, and our children." And he fastened it upon the end of a pole thereof, and he fastened on his head plate, and his breastplate, and his shields, and girded on his armor about his loins, and he took the pole which he had of the end thereof, his rent coat, and he called it the title of liberty. And he bowed himself to the earth, and he prayed mightily unto his God for the blessings of the liberty to rest upon his brethren, so long as they should be a band of Christians remain to possess the land. For thus were all the true believers of Christ, which belonged to the church of God, called. For those who did not belong to the church, and those who did not belong to the church, and those who, called by those who did not belong to the church, and those who did belong to the church, were faithful. Yea, all those who were true believers in Christ took upon them gladly the name of Christ, or Christians, as they were called, because of their belief in Christ, which should come. And therefore, at this time, Moroni prayed that the cause of the Christians and the freedom of the land might be favored. And it came to pass that when he had poured out his soul to God, he gave all the land which was south of the land desolation, yea, even in fine, all the land, both on the north and the south, a chosen land in the land of liberty. And he says, surely God shall not suffer that we, who are despised because we take upon the name of Christ, shall be trodden down and destroyed until we bring it upon us by our own transgressions. And then when Moroni had said these words, he went forth among the people, waving the rent of his garment in the air, that all might see the writing which he had written upon the rent, and crying with a loud voice, saying, "Behold, whosoever will maintain this title unto the land, let them come forth in the strength of the Lord and enter into a covenant that they will maintain their rights and their religion, that the Lord God may bless them." And it came to pass that Moroni had proclaimed these words. Behold, the people came running together with their armor girded about their loins, rending their garments in token or as a covenant they would not forsake the Lord their God. And so, you know, he had used that to get their attention and to rally them around, and that they might remember their religion and their God and their families and their country, and that they would that they were in fact in a spiritual warfare, just like we are. And there's a need for us to rally around. You know, I have a. This is a garment, okay? And our garment that we are to wear and to rent, or that we have worn and to rent, you know. And what does rent mean? Anybody know? Tear. Make a piece of it, okay? And so they went, you know, he made this, tore a piece off of it. And he showed it. You know, today we see it's like a flag. A title. You know, when I read that word, title of liberty, and I think of the title for a land or something. So I had to look that up. But it's a banner, a placard, a sign. And he wrote on that and put it on a pole. You know, and he waved it so they could all see it in memory of those things. And we're to come. We're to rent our code of the life that we live, of our pride, our vainness, our selfishness, our interest in ourself, and be rid of it. Tear it. And we're to remember the things that God has told us to remember. You know, and they're just what he had said here. Our God, our religion, our family, our wives, our church, our brothers and sisters, and stay committed. And you know, when you put your shirt on or your blouse on, you know, every day, think about that. You know, I'm not going to, you know, I can wave that above everybody, and, you know, this might be not too good of a visual here, but you know, you put your shirt on every day. And make sure it's not that shirt of hardness and of pride and of vanity, but to remember that we're to come, and we've made a covenant with God that we're to be Christians. And the banner that we carry every day is our life. The banner that we wave at school, at work, wherever we might be, is our life as Christians. How we act, how we treat others, the things that we're doing, the things that we're saying, who we're associated with, what we're up to. We're to express the love of Christ to others. For those that despitefully use us, we're to fight with them, right? Wrong. We're to pray for them. That's the teaching of Christ. He says he'll bless us. That's a promise that he's made. And I believe in those promises. Moroni here, you know, he besides tearing that garment, or renting his coat, and writing upon it, and making that banner, you know, he did what? He prayed about it. He said he bowed down to the earth and bore his soul out to God for direction. And that's what we're to do. To bow down to the earth and to pray to God that we can be overcome our own carnal desires and our own carnal wishes. And we all have them. I'm not trying to talk down to anybody. I'm talking to each one of us, including myself. And we're to remember the covenant that we've made. We're to check the things out that we're doing with our meter here, you know. And we're to remember our God, our religion, our freedom, by our righteousness, our peace, because of the blessings of God, our children to be good examples for them, and our wives to honor our families and those around us. And to weigh that life as a Christian before the world, to be our title of liberty, our banner, our placard, our sign. He goes in and he talks about there that he grabbed his, let's see if I can find that. He fastened it on his head plate, in verse 42 on page 470, and on his breastplate, and on his shields, and girded on his armor about his loins, and he took the pole which he had the end thereof, his rent coat, and he called it the title of liberty. Now, how many of you kids were at camp last year? Everybody raise your hand that was at camp. What does that scripture remind you of? Duh. Nothing? The theme for camp. Putting on the whole armor of God. Here we find the same thing written in another book. Okay, telling us to put on our helmets, salvation, our breastplates of righteousness, our shields of faith. You know, that's what we're to arm ourselves with. Those things that God has provided for us, that we can endure and protect and not be lost, driven away. Okay? And we're to remember them, you know? And why is all this important? Why would I even be attempting to try to remind us of the things that are taught here in the Scriptures? Why would we come here today and sit here to hear these? Because the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. If we live our life according to God and His plan, we're to feast with Him eternally. Eternally. That all the blessings that He has promised will be before us. And so as we go to our various places, you know, and we need to make sure that we don't do here what it said in that first email I read. That we don't waste our time and not commune with Him. But we use those times that we have between phone calls. That we use the time that we have driving down the highway or wherever we might be to commune. To correspond. To communicate with God. And ask Him for direction in our life. Each one of us, no matter what our age is. We've got to learn to do that. Okay? We've got to remember to use the things, just like the electrician, you know, has used this meter. We've got that meter. We can check out where anything that is laid before us or any decision that we are to make. We can check out and see if we're going to be in continuity with God's teachings and with the blessings that He's promised. We don't have to be wandering to and fro and be lost and without power and in darkness. We can be tuned in. We can be plugged in like that. And we can come here and be charged. We can read the promises that, you know, we can read those scriptures and be charged, just like those batteries plugging them in. And that we can withstand anything that Satan can throw at us. Absolutely anything. I'd like to close with the reading of the 100th Psalm. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him, and bless His name. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. Yeah. We're to make that joyful noise and expression of our love and carry that banner in our hearts and in our actions of as Christians, letting those in the world know the covenant that we've made with our Heavenly Father. And this is to be a joyous thing. You know, too often I think it's portrayed as a punishment. Too often it's portrayed that we have to forsake the joys that the Lord has promised us. But the joy is in the gospel of Christ and in those promises. And as we go through life and if we go through the trials and we come to those situations that we have to make decisions on, we need to remember to put our meter in. In work and open the scriptures and test the things out. Gentleman in the back row many years ago said we're to be fruit inspectors. Do anybody remember that sermon? Yeah. We're to know the things by their fruits. Think about that. Fruit inspectors. You know? Multimeters. But remember, the best is yet to come. Thank you.